Welcome to PLV Radio Network out of BC, Canada, where inquiring minds meet inspiration. Coming up next is...
Ask Sarah.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Hello everybody and welcome to Ask Sarah. Today's topic is all about living a living death. What do I mean by that? Well, in my counseling of 40 years, I have come across many people who have really stopped living. They're living a kind of living death. They're no longer participating in life. They do not feel anything for life. They don't feel anything for their own lives. They're simply going through the survival motions without any feeling whatsoever. So why do we get into this state? How do we systematically switch things off? How do we become the living dead? Well, what we're going to address this week as the living death, the little tools that we can do first to understand, are we truly living? Are we switched on? Are we paying attention? I've been conducting a program called The View of Life for the last 38 years, going on 39 now. It is a wonderful program that takes people through a journey and helps them understand where they are right now and this time of life. It helps them understand their obstacles, their challenges, and also to understand if they're actually switched on or switched off. We're very, very unaware of the fact that we go through life very often tuned out. Or we tune in to the things that aren't serving us, you know, like hate and fear and discord. If we could turn our volume over to the different side and kind of embrace the possibilities in life, the options in life, the beauty of life, we might not switch ourselves off quite so readily. But I do understand about the living death, having died in my own life. For about a good 8 years, I was really non-existent in my life. To the outside world, I was still counselling. I was a mother of three children, a cat and a dog. Actually, the dog came later. And I was out there kind of doing my thing. I was serving community. I was volunteer at the school, doing my counselling. But nobody knew, and nobody would believe me when I said that I was screaming inside, that I did not feel a part of my own life. I was going through the motions, but even when I said to people, I am screaming, I am unhappy, I do not feel connected, I feel like I am dead inside and I don't know why I'm living. And when I looked at my three children's faces, that was the reason why I lived and why and what helped me to really seek life and switch that pilot light back on and fight my way back up into life. But if I didn't have them, I'm not sure where I'd be today, or even if I would be here. I'm not a person that believes in suicide as a cop-out. I understand that for some people, there is no other option in life. Their despair or their struggle with life is just so hard that sometimes it's almost their destiny. But for me, it was if I wasn't living in purpose, if I wasn't living in a part of life that, you know, needed me or that I could be of service to, a kind of like, why was I here? It was very, very difficult for me. I have three wonderful children. I was housing a lot of other kids that were kind of, you know, kicked out of home and they came to us for a while. I was very interactive with kids' things, but just non-existent in my own life. I was mother. I was friend. I was counselor. Somewhere along the line there, I was a wife. But I didn't even feel that. I simply was not existent in my own life. And I was the living dead. Nothing touched me. You know, again, I'm talking about kids and things like this that will always touch me. But, you know, nothing touched me. I just didn't feel attached to anything outside of my family. I just... You know when you touch something and you feel that wonderful sense of touch, soft, and you feel alive and you can feel the tingle of life. I could touch and feel nothing. I would speak to people, but they wouldn't hear me. I wrote an article on Only the Lonely. I am speaking, but can anyone hear what I'm saying? Or only hearing what you want to hear from me? And that is what I really actually found, is that people would only hear what they wanted to hear from you. They would never actually listen to the truth of what you were saying. That actually, of course, made you feel even more lonely, even more apart from the world, and even more feeling like nobody noticed you were there. This is something I struggled with for quite a number of years. And I went through many different types of things, like removing past lives and discovering this life. You know, why was I here? What was I meant to be doing here? Living up to my worth, discovering what my worth was, not having it dictated by people around me, but by my cosmic worth and my conviction to want to be of service in this world, to be able to help people, to see people's possibilities and help them find them, to see smiles instead of frowns, to hear laughter instead of crying. That was always there, but it just wasn't for me. I just couldn't attach it to me. So I would say it was an 8-year journey. The only thing that kind of kept me going was a little pilot light. You know, that dim light at the end of the tunnel. And as long as it kept flickering, it was that hope that if I just kept walking towards that light, that one day I would come out of it. Other than a couple of people that would point out where I was. And you know, why are you there, Sarah? You counsel everybody else, but what about yourself? Why are you allowing your ex to do what he's doing? Why are you allowing people to suck you emotionally dry? I know we get caught up in a rut and we just don't know how we get there. And then when we're there, we don't know how to get out of it again. We need people around us to see where we're at. And, you know, telling us where we're at is one thing, because then we help to see it from a different perspective. You know, people are noticing that you're no longer attached to your life, or that you're busy serving everyone else and not yourself. But you still need those people that can say to you, you know, I understand, and I may have some tools in my arsenal that can help you actually get out of this rut, that can put you on a new direction, that can switch you back on. It wasn't so much that I lived in fear, because I was brave enough to leave my husband in a marriage that just simply was not good for me in any way. I was brave enough to kind of seek the cosmic help of removing past lifetimes so that I can live in the choice of my own lifetime and not a pattern of a past lifetime. I was brave enough to always seek forward in doing my work and believing in what I do and knowing that it had results. The courage was not the problem. The belief that there could be something better for me was not the problem. My biggest problem was a 3-letter word. How? How am I going to take this path? How am I going to get to something that is more possible for me? How am I going to get to a place where I feel purposeful, or, you know, that reason for living, that I'm actually here for a reason? That how was always something that I constantly seeked. Now, you know, I'm the counselor and I'm a very strong woman, and a lot of people think that, you know, I've got it all together. I'm quite tall, I'm a bigger frame, I have a soft but sometimes stern voice, and it seemed to be that people did not want to know if I was in emotional trouble. It kind of seemed to shatter their illusion of me. But she's that strong woman, and she's there for us. She doesn't need anybody. But yes, we do. Even the strongest needs people. You cannot stay strong forever. You will crumble. You will fall. You will disintegrate. Trust me. You need people around you that are going to help you when you have your confusions, when you're at a roadblock, when you are feeling full of despair and wondering why the hell you're here. You need people, not just to point out what the problem is, but to help you with a helping hand in moving forward. So what did I do? Well, as I said, I became single again. I took some courses, you know, a little self-discovery. Who am I now? What would I be good at? What are my aptitudes outside of counseling? And what directions could I possibly go in? And so I set about on a few courses that, you know, gave me a better understanding of why I see life the way I see it. Understanding key personalities, their perspectives, their interactiveness, and also that in that interaction is entirely the way you perceive life, interact with life. And unless you open up your own arena, you could be very one-dimensional and missing out on opportunities in life. So I kind of fell in love with True Colors, Myers and Briggs. And in 2001, I took that journey and I discovered that, and I discovered more about me. And I set about the Art of Positive Living, where I would include my True Colors in my spiritual counseling along with my view of life. And I would never make this into like a full-time job because I was a full-time mom. And it was something I integrated in and out in workshops and various business conferences and individuals. And, you know, just it was always secondary to my parenting. And especially when I became a single mom, you know, it's a single parent. So a little more demanding on the time. I also was a person that is inclined to give a little too much to my clients. I'm there for them and they know that. And there was a while there before I managed to break free where I seemed to be surrounded by crisis junkies. Now, I want you to imagine a ruler. A ruler, 12 inches. That's 6 to 12 inches are people that are on various levels of positivity. And they have chosen to live in a more enlightened world, in positivity, in choosing to always look on the bright side of life and not let life get them down. Your 4 to 6s are people that are in that discovery. They're coming out of darkness and they're seeking that positive light and they're working towards that to reach out and embrace it. But your 1 to 3s are crisis junkies. They're the drama queens. They're the people that live on the energy of hate or despair or always looking at the sad side of life, the depressed side of life, you know, the next drama. I call it the CNN effect. You know, oh gosh, there's a molehill. By the time they finish with it, it's a volcanic eruption. And these people require a great deal of energy to stay in that despair, to stay in that misery. So they go after those 4 to 6s. And just as those 4 to 6s have got enough positive energy and are moving over into that next realm, those crisis junkies come along and suck that life right back out of them. So this is why you see people who look like they're doing well, you know, rehab or, you know, they've been through an emotional scar and they're coming out of it. And you think they're on their way to recovery and all of a sudden, snap, they're back where they were because they've allowed these crisis junkies to come along and literally suck the energy right out of them. Please understand that we are made up of energy and we want to be of positive energy, not negative. When that negative energy comes along and sucks that positive energy and it sucks it right out of you, you actually physically feel your limbs being heavier, your breath being shallower, a feeling of just not being able to cope and you're so tired and what's this all about and your body just withering down. This is what happens when that energy is sucked out of you. And a crisis junkie will do it to you all the time. Now, in that time of recovery for me over that 8 years, just before I kind of branched off into the True Colors and taking my program further, I had a couple of people that used to call me up all the time with what has gone wrong in their life at this time. And I would be on the phone an hour and a half, 2 hours every week, helping them get back on their proverbial feet. And hope that I had done enough to help them through the next week. And then the next week they will call again. I had this one friend that used to call and go, oh my God, this week's been so bad. I just want to jump off the bridge. And then one day I said to her, okay, which bridge? What, she said? I said, which bridge? What do you mean, which bridge? I said, you're going to jump off the bridge. I'd like to know which bridge it is so I can have somebody look for the body. She was dumbfounded. What do you mean? How callous, how awful. That is a terrible thing to say to me. And I said, look, there is nothing I say, nothing that I can tell you. There's no guidance that I can give you that can help you, because every week you come back to me about to jump off the bridge again. If you're hell-bent in jumping off that bridge, there's nothing more I can do for you. Just tell me which bridge, and I will make sure that your body is retrieved. She was dumbfounded, but I think it was a little bit of a wake-up. A little bit of a wake-up in the sense of, I'm not there to hear your violin anymore. I'm not there to feed your crisis. I'm not there to stroke your pain. I'm now telling you, if that's all you want for yourself and that's all you're willing to fight for, go and jump off that bridge. I can't do anything for you, because somewhere along the line, people have to learn they've got to do things for themselves. We can guide, we can help, we can lift up, we can give you the tools, we can give you that support, we can encourage you. But bottom line, folks, it's up to us to do the work. Not come in and suck someone dry every week, feel charged up and off you go again, only to come back to that proverbial bridge. Another friend had been doing it to me for 19 years, and it was only when she dismissed me because I became too positive. It was quite funny. I had done a collage, past where I want to be, what my future is going to be, and I, you know, cut out from magazines and put on this, and I highly recommend everybody do it. It's very cathartic, and it really does help you. And in it, I had people from my past, and in the picture that those that I knew I wanted to take forward with me, I had a vision of where I wanted to go. And then I had pictures of people that I knew I wanted to meet, you know, just future people, future life. I'm all about people. I love people, and I love people embracing their possibilities. Well, this friend looked at this collage and said to someone, well, she's going to get rid of her. She's going to get rid of all of us. We're not going to be in her life anymore. I'm going to get rid of her before she gets rid of me. And systematically gave me a card and said, thank you for the last 19 years. Goodbye, you've become too positive. I was quite dumbfounded, a little upset, because she had been a chosen sister. She'd been at all weddings and christenings and every birthday, every Christmas, every event. And I was rather dumbfounded that she could do this. And it's only when I was removed from it that I realized that every time I'd been around her, I had come away exhausted, totally and utterly drained. Now, something to tell you is that I became very physically sick through this emotional disconnect, through the depression, through not being a part of my life. I developed fibromyalgia and IBS. I had my fiscial from car accidents. And even though SADS is something I've suffered from in the past, and anxiety is something that runs in my family, it became something very, very prevalent in my life, and kind of was on the increase. But definitely the fibromyalgia was an onslaught of house burning down, marriage coming to an end, feeling totally desperate in my life and wondering what I was here for. So I had developed this illness, and at this time, things like fibromyalgia, because I've had it 15 years, really doctors didn't understand anything about it. And they, you know, all sorts of labels they were putting on me, and they just didn't know what to do for me. And the one thing about fibromyalgia, which is, yes, it's, you know, your body goes like cardboard and it goes heavy and it's really painful. But most of the thing hard to contend with is the fatigue, and you get desperately tired as someone has just emptied out the plug and everything has drained out. And I was already in that physical state, and I couldn't understand it every time I saw this friend or the girl that was on the phone, that I would end up even more exhausted and sometimes even have to take to my bed, until she was removed from me. And then the other friend, by the way, decided that she was going to leave me too, and off they went together. Two of the best things that happened for me at that time period. Because with both of those crisis junkies out of my life, I realized that I was so busy feeding them, you know, kind of keeping the violin going, supporting their, you know, their misery. And each time they were being those crisis junkies, sucking out my 4 to 6 energy as I was trying to recover. With them out of my life, I suddenly propelled forward to that 6 and started grasping life, you know, by the horns, and really going out on the limb there and just trying everything, exploring everything, and really putting myself out there. I asked for a divorce. And it was a battle. Lots of problems were there in the beginning, not letting go and not letting me go. And, you know, there was that balance and challenge that I had there in order to become free. But as I said, I went to school, picked up some new tools, learned about the two colours, which just became a natural one, and incorporated it in my spiritual counselling along with the view of life. And I really was stepping into myself, and I was really feeling alive for the first time in so many years. And this sense of feeling could actually be felt at the tips of my fingers. You know, when you start looking at things around you, not just the flowers and the colour, the, you know, the trees, the cats and the dogs and the children and the architecture and the images, everything became so much more beautiful. Everything became so much more alive. I became so much more alive. And I realised how much I had been switched off, how much I had been living dead and unaware of what was around me. I laughed more, I danced more, my children were happier with me. This is a new mother, they didn't know who she was. For a good 8-9 years of their life, I had been this dead woman. And suddenly there was Mum. She looked different, she dressed different, I looked younger, I became more colourful, I went after life with enthusiasm. I didn't date for 5.5 years, and then my business partner, he and I got together for a while, better at business than we are at relationships, but still very good friends today and still very much in business. But it kept me alive, and it was something that I realised that if you want life, you've got to make sure that you grasp life, that you pay attention to that sensory that's within your body. Become sensual over life. Become excited over life. Partake of life. When you eat, don't just eat to, you know, sustain yourself. Taste your food. Taste your drink. Taste everything that's around you. Touch and really truly feel. Truly see. When you interact with someone, truly interact. Don't just catch every fourth or fifth word and respond to that. That leads to assumption. And of course, you go back to judgment. By partaking in life and becoming alive again, I realized again how much I had been so dead and how wonderful life is when you are living it, when you are absorbing it. What a gift this world is to us, this extraordinary planet, the wonderful people we can be when we choose to live in positivity rather than drama, when we choose to see the brighter side of life. No, this is not seeing life for rose-colored glasses. This is seeing life for truly what it is. We've become so jaded. We've become so expectant. I'm feeling miserable, make me happy. Well, where is the responsibility to make ourselves happy? Where is our responsibility to know, I'm feeling down, what do I need to do to cheer myself up? What do I need to do to pick myself up? What do I need to do to bring that smile back onto my face? Is it watch a funny movie? Is it go out with friends? Is it go to the theatre? Is it go out for dinner? Is it to go for a walk, a ride, a run? This is when I got my dog. And my dog replaced my husband. My dog came into my life, this beautiful border collie, black and white bundle of joy, and I started getting out and meeting more people because of her. And to this day, she's a wonderful dog that meets and greets people all the time. And I have met many people that even come on this show because of her or that I've worked with. And she is a gift. And I follow her key. You know, when she goes up to people and wags her tail, you know, opens up with that conversation. Don't be afraid to have a conversation. And it doesn't always have to be about the weather. Everybody's looking to interact with other people. We all want to tell our story, but we don't want to play the violin. You know, we want to talk about where we used to be, but gosh, where we are now. And, you know, and I found that courage and I found that strength and I found that vision and I found that enthusiasm to go and seek life and search life and partake in life. And I'm living in this excitement now because I've chosen to act on life. The reason I do these radio shows is because all of these wonderful people on here, these wonderful hosts and guests that come on with their stories, they have all been down this road. They've all had a living death. They all know what it's like to be faced the end of a road and have to start again, radically different in their careers, in their social life, in their personal lives, in their health lives. And maybe some of them have even physically died and come back. They face that death and they know the importance of truly living life. I have picked these people to be on these shows because their stories will inspire you. Their tools can help you have that how to apply these tools to help you seek your life. I've got these tools. I have my Diva Unity program. Discovering your diva so you could switch that back on again and really listen to life, your view of life, where you are right now. The whole spiritual counseling that I have, a technique that is very, very interactive with you, and it's to unravel where you are, because when you know where you are and truly understand what you believe in right now, you can make better choices of where you want to go, of what you want to do with your life, of what your possibilities are. When we learn to look at our present and go, you know, you're not serving me. You're not helping me move forward. I'm going to let go, open up my hands and let go of what does not serve me. I'm going to look fear right in the face and say, you are no friend of mine. I'm going to look at despair and say, you're out the door, mate. You're out the door. Because I have found courage. I have found enlightenment. Most of all, though, I have found a sense of worth within myself. And now I am a seeker of possibilities, a liberator of lives, and somebody who enjoys and participates in life. Even the simple things. You don't have to do big grandiosos. Even the simple things are beautiful, but you've got to be willing to see the beauty. You've got to be willing to let go of the drama, the fear, the hate, the dread. You have got to be willing, and you have to make that choice to take that first step. Listen to the people on my shows. Maybe there's somebody there to help you that you resonate with. If you resonate with me, my site is choosepositiveliving.com. You can see my articles there. You can see my work there. I am in development of my Diva Unity program right now. I've basically taken a bunch of programs, put them together and kind of put them on steroids. And it's going to be very comprehensive, giving you also your fractal, which is your alignment, putting the right people around you. The biggest tip I'm going to leave you with, folks, when you start switching yourself back on and start embracing life again and going after it in a positive way, when you start doing that, look to the people around you. Are they serving you? Are they a good fractal, a good alignment? Because if they aren't, then you have to say, see you later, folks. And put those people around you that are going to lift you up and help propel you forward. You have to do this in order to survive. You have to do this for you. Thank you very much for listening, everyone. I'll be back next week where I'll be talking about regret and how to let go of it. Thank you very, very much, everybody. Have a wonderful week. And don't forget, you can ask Sarah anything you want me to cover on choosepositiveliving.com. Ask Sarah. Leave me your message there, and I'll be very glad to cover it on the show in privacy as you wish. Thank you very much, folks. Have a wonderful week, and please believe in yourself. You have been listening to Sarah at Positive Living Vibrations. If you missed any part of the show, you can find it on plv-radio.com under Past Shows tab. Coming up next at 10 a.m. is
Ask Sarah.